Well, good morning. Today has been a day of remembrance. We have spent time remembering 9/11 and the tragedy that struck New York 10 years ago. We have spent time remembering Jesus Christ and His sacrifice and the Last Supper that He shared with the disciples, in which He gave the ordinance of communion and taking the bread and the cup, and doing that in remembrance of Him and what He had done. And today is also National Grandparents Day, and we've taken time to remember our grandparents and to honor those who were here with us, whether they are our biological grandparents or maybe even just grandparents in the faith. And today I have a message for you. It is a Grandparents Day message, and it's about a legacy and what legacy we leave behind. And I want to start off by reading for you from Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 32. And they read like this. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God, then he was no more, because God took him away. When Methuselah had lived 187 years, he became the father of Lamech. After he became the father of Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Lamech lived a total of 969 years, and then he died. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he had a son. He named him Noah and said, "He will comfort us in the labor and painful toil of our hands caused by the ground the Lord has cursed." After Noah was born, Lamech lived 595 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Lamech lived a total of 777 years, and then he died. After Noah was 500 years old, he became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. National Grandparents Day. How did it all get started? Well, a lady by the name of Marion McQuaid and her husband Joe, they lived in Fayette County, West Virginia. And they were, get this, parents of 15 children, grandparents of 40, and great-grandparents of 8. And after a 5-year campaign in 1973, legislation was passed by Congress proclaiming the first Sunday after Labor Day as National Grandparents Day. Now, September was chosen to honor grandparents because it symbolized the autumn years of life. Today, I'm going to tell you about a story of an elderly couple, much like I did last week, where I'm going to intermingle the story in with the message. It goes like this. One day, Grandpa Henry was sitting in the park with a 75-year-old man. Henry discovered that this other 75-year-old grandpa had just married a 25-year-old woman. Grandpa Henry was amazed. "Your wife must be very attractive," he said. "No, not really," replied the older man. Henry thought for a moment and then he said, "Then she must be a great cook and housekeeper." "No, she's not much for that either," said the man. Henry thought for a moment and then he asked, "Then why did you marry her?" The 75-year-old grandpa yawned and said, "Because she can drive at night." Now, some of you out here are grandparents. Do you think your life will have an influence on your grandchildren? How about your great-grandchildren? In Genesis 5, we get the account of a man named Enoch. He was the father of Methuselah, Methuselah was the father of Lamech, and Lamech was the father of Noah. The Bible says that Enoch walked close to God. But what does the Bible tell us about Noah? In Genesis 6, 8 through 9, it says, "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. So Enoch walked with God, and so did his great-grandson Noah. Grandparents, do you think that your faith will affect future generations? You better believe it will. Grandparents, even parents, are we living a life like Enoch's? A life of righteousness? Listen to what Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 has to say. "By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God." Now, don't you want your children, your grandchildren, even your great-grandchildren to turn out like Noah, a righteous man? Today, we'll look at some of the fruits of Noah's life. And I have 3 points or 3 fruits out of his life that I would like to share with you. The first one is that Noah was a righteous man in a totally corrupt age. We saw earlier in Genesis 6, 8 and 9 that Noah walked with God. But did you know that there is another testimony to Noah's life? And it is found in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, where it says, "Son of man, if a country sins against me by being unfaithful, and I stretch out my hand against it to cut off its food supply and send famine upon it and kill its people and their animals, even if these 3 men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they could only save themselves by their righteousness, declares the sovereign Lord." You see, it was not easy for Noah to be a righteous man back in those days. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 7 says, "The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, 'I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and within the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground. For I regret that I have made them.'" Now that scripture there sounds an awful lot like the world we're living in today and what we face today, doesn't it? It would be very easy for you grandparents, even parents, to be like all the rest of the world. You see, it's not easy to be like Enoch and to be like Noah. But did you know that God calls us, each and every one of us, to be righteous? 2 Corinthians 6, 16 through 18 says, "What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, 'I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people.' Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." What do your grandchildren see when they look at you? Do they see you living an evil life, much like the world all around us? What kind of example are you setting for them? Meanwhile, Grandpa Henry's wife, Grandma Bessie, was at home babysitting her grandchildren. Bessie wondered just how much her 3-year-old granddaughter Allison had learned. She picked up a box of crayons and began to test to see if she had learned her colors yet. She would pull a crayon out of the box and ask what color it was. Allison would always tell her the color and always got it correct. Finally, the little girl slid out of the porch swing and headed for the door. Over her shoulder, the little girl said, "Grandma, I think you should try to figure some of these colors out yourself." The second fruit, of Noah's life was that Noah followed God's instructions exactly. Genesis chapter 6, verses 14 through 16 says, "So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Now, a cubit is roughly a foot and a half. So you can get a thing. It's a 450-foot long boat by 75 feet wide and 45 feet high. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof an opening one cubit all around. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower and middle and upper decks." Did Noah build the ark the way that he wanted to? No. He followed God's instructions exactly as they were given to him. Genesis 6:22 says, "Noah did everything just as God commanded him." Now, I believe that if Noah had doubted God's wisdom, or if he had chosen to build this ark the way that he wanted to, the ark probably would have sunk and all would have been lost. Noah and his whole family, all his sons, would have died. Noah's son, Shem, would have been drowned in the flood. You see, Genesis 11:10 says, this is the account of Shem's family line. 2 years after the flood, when Shem was 100 years old, he became the father of Arphaxad. Now, who is Arphaxad, you may be asking? Well, the simple answer is that Arphaxad was the grandson of Noah. But there's more to it than that. Genesis chapter 11, verses 12 through 27 tell us, through the genealogy, tell us through all that, that Arphaxad was also the great-great-great-great-great-grandfather of Abram, who you may know later became known as Abraham. You see, if Noah hadn't followed God's instructions, then all would have been lost. Shem would have drowned. If Shem had drowned, there would have been no Arphaxad. No Arphaxad, no Abraham. Listen to what Hebrews 11 says about these men. The chapter of faith. It says in verses 5 through 8, "By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." By faith, Noah, when warned about these things not yet seen, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. It's obvious that the faith Noah possessed made it possible for him to obey God even in times when it was hard to do so. That faith passed down through the generations. It was that same faith that made it possible for Abraham to obey God when he was told to leave his home. Hebrews 11:8 again says, "By faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going." When God told Abraham to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice, Hebrews 11:17 says, "By faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice." He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Abraham obeyed God even when it didn't seem logical, even when it didn't make sense. You see, he followed the example that was set by his grandparents. Now, Abraham's wife, Sarah, was the granddaughter of a godly line of people as well. Hebrews 11:11 says, "And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise." Do you now see the importance of passing on our faith to our children and our grandchildren? If they see us obeying God, it makes an impression on our grandchildren and the generations behind us. Let's get back to our story of our elderly couple. A few minutes passed by and Bessie's 9-year-old granddaughter Jessica came out of the house carrying her grandma's pocketbook. She got up in the swing next to Grandma Bessie and asked if she could see her driver's license. Bessie took out her purse and removed the driver's license. Jessica looked at the license and said, "It's not a very good picture of you, Grandma." Bessie agreed. Then Jessica asked, "Do you really weigh that much, Grandma?" "I'm afraid so," Bessie replied. After scanning the license for a moment, Jessica handed the license back to Bessie and jumped down from the swing. As she opened the door to the house, she said, "It says you flunked sex too, Grandma." Yeah. Point three, the third fruit of Noah's life was that Noah totally submitted his life to God. Noah built the ark, he got in the ark, and he put his trust in God. Now, there is a very good chance that Noah had never, ever seen rain before. Hebrews 11:7 says, "By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, he built an ark." You see, before the flood, the earth didn't need rain. Genesis 2:5 through 6 says, "Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had sprung up. For the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground." Now, there is some debate on whether there had actually been rain or not. Some people say that there was more of like a dew or condensation, and it was more like a terrarium-type setting, a greenhouse thing where it just kind of had this ecosystem going and no real rain. Now, if there hadn't been rain, or even if there had been rain, whatever the case, there had never been rain to the magnitude that was about to come. So Noah, he trusted God's word. He submitted his life completely to the Lord. He trusted God to help him build the ark. And he trusted God to bring all the animals to the ark. Genesis 7:15 says, "Pairs of all creatures that have the breath of life in them came to Noah and entered the ark." You see, Noah didn't have to go around and round up all those animals. God brought them to the ark, and they went into the ark on their own. Noah trusted God to take care of him and his family and all the animals. Genesis 7:16 says, "The animals going in were male and female of every living thing, as God had commanded Noah. Then the Lord shut him in." God shut the big door to the ark. He protected Noah and his family and all the animals from the floodwaters. And Noah, he had complete trust in God and believed in God. Do your grandchildren see you acting like Noah, trusting God? Do they see you walking by faith with God? Are you influencing your grandchildren in such a way that people see the difference in them? Or are you just spoiling them and sending them back home to their parents? You know, there are some things as parents, or especially as grandparents, that we can do for our grandchildren. Teach them about God and spiritual things. Guide them toward good marriages by modeling a good one yourself. Don't do things that you don't want them to be doing. Be consistent and follow through on things. play with them and spend time with them. Look for good things in your grandkids, not just bad things. Believe them. And more importantly, believe in them. Share your life, the good and the bad, so that they can learn from you. Let them see how Jesus has worked in your life and how he continues to work. Even if you may have failed miserably as a younger person, let them see how God has brought you back and God is continually working your life and how things are going now. And lastly, point them toward heaven, as your time on earth is probably shorter than theirs. And let them know how you can be together forever with God and each other in heaven for eternity. Let's get back one last time to our story of Grandpa Henry and Grandma Bessie. After the granddaughter entered the house, a police car pulled up in front of Grandma Bessie's house and Grandpa Henry got out. Bessie was alarmed. She thought to herself, "I wonder what the old man has done now." Henry was old and his memory was beginning to fade. The policeman was polite, and he explained that this elderly gentleman said that he was lost in the park and couldn't find his way home. Bessie thanked the officer for his kindness, and the policeman walked away. Bessie looked sternly at her husband. "Oh, Henry," said Grandma Bessie, "you've been going to that park for over 30 years. How could you get lost?" Grandpa Henry answered, "I wasn't lost. I was just too tired to walk home." As we close this morning, the role that you play as grandparents will be important for future generations in this life and in the next. The greatest thing that we have to give, parents and grandparents, the greatest thing that we have to live is our lives. We need to be people who are safe to come home to no matter what our children or grandchildren have done. You see, each of us will leave a legacy. What legacy are we leaving behind? The life that we choose to live, whether good or bad, will have an impact on those who come behind us. And that impact is far greater than we can ever imagine. We need to show our grandchildren how to live a godly life. Show them how to love. Show them how to forgive. Show them how to give. And, most importantly, to show them how to live forever with you and with the God who created each and every one of us. Let's pray.